Psalms 112. This chapter deals with the way of the godly man tonight. I'm going to deal with two verses out of it, read all of it, and kind of just give you an overview real quick. But we're going to deal with verses 7 and verses 8 tonight. But let's look in Psalms 112 and begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. That's a good way to start, ain't it? Starts out, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous man be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. As we look at this tonight quickly, as we notice, the very first thing he said was, praise ye the Lord. I thought, boy, that's a good way to start. As I was reading this the past few days, I thought, boy, that's a good way to open anything up is praise the Lord, because he's worthy and that to be praised. But notice as it talks about the man that fears the Lord. Notice here that he said that he delights in his commandments. If you fear the Lord tonight, you'll love his word. Amen. If you fear the Lord tonight, you'll want to keep his word and do his word, not simply because you're afraid of him but also in the reverence and that the love of God in your life, you'll want to keep his commandments. As a matter of fact, it says that he delighteth greatly in his commandments. How many of us tonight delight greatly in keeping God's word? You know, if you read the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, many times it talks about delighting in the Lord and delighting in the word of God. Then it talks about right here the blessing of the Lord. It says his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. So God is going to bless. There's no doubt of that. How many of us tonight in serving God has been blessed in our deed? Can I say tonight we should not serve God simply to be blessed, but because that we do, he does bless us tonight. And then in verse 3, it talks about his wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight, I don't believe in a prosperity gospel tonight, but I do believe that God takes care of his people tonight. I do. I believe he takes care of his people. And he says, unto the upright there ariseth, in verse 4, light in the darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And so the actions of the upright right here, he says, there ariseth light in the darkness. Now let me say this, when we look at this two ways tonight, one, God can shed light in our dark times and shed light and that in the ways that we need to go and in dark times of what we need to do. But I believe the righteous man tonight, the righteous lady tonight will be a light that shines out in a dark place and in a dark time. As a matter of fact, it says they're gracious, full of compassion and righteous. And then he said this, that good man, he does what? He showeth favor and he lendeth. A lot of people are stingy tonight, ain't they? They said, the righteous man lendeth. He lendeth. You know, the Bible said, he that lendeth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. I've told you this before, but I'm learning some things about that stuff, about dealing with the poor. I mean, the more I read this book right here, the more that I find out God set up rules that dealt with the widow, that dealt with the fatherless, and dealt with the poor and the stranger. God wanted to take care of him. You know why? You know what he told Israel? Because you were a stranger down in the land of Egypt. There was a time when you were a stranger, but somebody had grace on you. Somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit come by and dealt with you about your salvation. But notice it said right here that He'll guide His affairs with discretion. In other words, He'll have discernment. He'll have prudence and knowledge of how to guide Himself. And said, surely He shall not be moved forever. It's almost, as I read this, I know the saying is immovable because it said the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. I'm glad God can let, you know, we still talk about righteous people from years gone on, don't we? We try not to talk about the wicked, but we try to talk about the righteous. But He said that what? That He would be immovable. I know that there are times that He said, surely He shall not be moved forever. I believe that the righteous man, the righteous lady, and that will be unmovable in their service for the Lord. It says is in verse 9 that He is He hath dispersed, He hath given to the poor. And so we come back to this again, that He lendeth until, and then the Bible says right here, His righteousness endureth forever, His horn shall be exalted with honor. So God exalts Him as He gives and as He lives for Him. But then in verse 10, I found this verse very interesting. It says, the wicked shall see it. Shall see what? All this. Verses 1 through 9, he'll see it. And the Bible says right here, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. You know, the Bible talks about, is it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 or 2 Timothy chapter 3? It talks about the wicked over there, that they'll be despisers of those that are good. And so it said right here, the wicked will see it, and he shall gnash his teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked shall perish. And so we see that the fate of the wicked will not be what they want, but it's going to come in death, and it will pass away. But He does not like the righteous man. The wicked out here are going to see also, by the way, let me say this, I believe they'll see those get into heaven. I do. I believe that tonight. You may not, but that's okay. But I believe that they will. They'll see what they miss, and that in glory tonight. I believe that tonight because of Luke chapter 16, because that rich man looked across that great gulf there in paradise and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, rememberest that down thy lifetime I was comforted, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. But I want to look in verses 7 and 8 and look at what he said right here. He said in the middle of verse 7, talking about the godly man, his heart is fixed. And then in verse 8, he said his heart is established. Now the word fixed means to make stable or to place permanently, or to rest or settle on, or to establish. Now here again we find that the greatness of your King James Bible, if you look in verse 7 where he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings, his heart is fixed, and then in verse 8 it says his heart is established. You find that this Bible is a dictionary to its own self. If you did not know what fixed means, it means to be established. And if you did not know what established means, it means to be fixed. Amen. That's what it means tonight. He doubles up and tells us exactly what he wanted to tell us. But I want to look tonight right here with the godly man and the godly woman and that on having a fixed heart. Over the years, I preached with that thought on a whole different message on what a fixed heart means and all that. But I want you to look at, first of all, what it says right here. How is his heart fixed? Look in verse 7. He says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, and he tells us how? Trusting in the Lord. You know how you have an established heart or a fixed heart or a heart that is stable and one that is permanently placed? Is the very fact that we trust in the Lord. Now tonight I'm going to tell us simple things, but sometimes they're just hard to do. You know, the lost world does not have a fixed heart. They're fixed on the world today. They're fixed on this thing today and fixed on something else tomorrow. They're trying to find something today that will cure them of what's ailing them. Their lack of peace, their lack of joy, their lack of just comfort on the inside. And they're chasing this and chasing that and chasing this and chasing that. And they're trying to find something that they can fix their heart on that will fix them. And I tell you tonight, the only thing that's going to fix the lost and dying world is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that fixes families is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that's going to fix our nation tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you fix something, it's not only permanently settled, but it also means to fix something, to repair something that is broke. And boy, don't our nation need fixing tonight. But the Christian that trusts has a fixed heart. We're looking to Him. We don't look anywhere else. You don't look to the preacher. You don't look to your wife or to your husband. And hopefully you can look to them and find some help. But hopefully you can look to your preacher. But tonight, when we simply trust God, we simply take Him at His Word. We simply take Him at His Word. When we trust in the Lord. Do you not realize tonight that we have nothing else to trust God with? What do you mean? All God has gave us is His Word. That's it. There's nothing. I know we got feelings, and boy, ain't you glad we got feelings. And some days I wish I didn't have feelings. Some days I feel bad. You know, I mean, you just feel bad, you feel sad. But you know, to be able to feel bad and to feel sad, you know, you couldn't feel happy and feel glad without feeling bad or feeling sad. You know, you can't have it all, or can't have it one way and not the other. But we simply take God at His Word to have a fixed heart. We trust Him to supply. As I looked at Matthew chapter 6 the other night, I read this verse as I preached on it. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He told His disciples over there, He says, you're not trusting Me to take care of you. He says, you have little faith. You know, when we have great faith, we expect the Lord to do some things, don't we? Amen. I mean, how many of us has ever expected God to do things that is out of our wheelhouse, that is out of our ability? I believe God wants us to do what we can do, and then He'll do what we cannot do. A lot of times, and I'll use this as, it seems like every time I'm praying for something, it has to do with money or financial need. And every time I pray for that, a lot of times, it comes to the very fact that I get some more work. Amen. Sometimes you pray for money and you might have to work overtime. But God's been supplying. Sometimes $100 bill shows up. I've had that happen before. I like it better that way. Amen. I like going up there to the car and $100 bill will be rolled up in the door handle and you reach in there and there's $100 bill. I was reminded of what Brother Ricketts said one time. He was preaching and he said every Sunday morning there was a gentleman in our church that walked out the back door and put a $100 bill in my hand every day that he walked out. Praise God. Amen. Anybody wants to do that, you help yourself. Amen. Not Brother Ricketts though. But he said one Sunday morning, I got to preaching against beer. And he said, I got to preaching against folk that have a cup holder on their lawnmower and got beer in their lawnmower while they're out there mowing the yard. And he said, you know, that man never gave me another $100 bill after I preached on that. But when we don't trust the Lord to supply, then we don't have a fixed heart. Let me ask you tonight, how many of us believe that God can supply? You know, it's easy to believe that God can supply when everything's running fairly smoothly. But it's when things ain't running so smooth that we really have to put our faith on the line and have a fixed heart in Him that says, Lord, I'm going to do what You want me to do and trust You and keep on doing what I'm supposed to do and let You supply as You have said. You know, as a matter of fact, if you read on in Matthew chapter 6, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in other words, you seek Him first, you serve Him first, trust Him first, and then He'll handle the rest of it. We need to trust to supply, to have a fixed heart. In the midst of the storm, we need to trust Him to have the fixed heart. I thought about in Matthew chapter 8 when the disciples are on board with Him and He is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the Bible says they came to Him and woke Him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are you so fearful, Oh, you have a little faith. They could see him, talk to him, and touch him. And they were worried that they were going to perish. Does he not have us? Does he not keep us? Does he not watch over us? Have we not committed our ever-loving and ever-living soul and that to the Lord Jesus Christ to get us into eternity, and then we still struggle when the storms show up? I'm just like you are. I wonder where my faith is sometimes, where it run off to. But you realize when we have a fixed heart, then we trust Him. It says He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So we trust in Him. Matthew chapter 14. Peter has got out of the boat. He's walking to the Lord on the water, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Can we have a fixed heart when doubt is there? When we worry about things that we've seen the Lord handle already. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Here in Matthew 16, he is having a rough go at it with his disciples, getting them to understand some things. Reckon the Lord has a rough go at it with us sometimes, trying to get us to understand some things. I know He does with me. Verse 5, look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now keep that in mind, okay? And then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Let me read on. And they reasoned among them, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Let me stop right here and say this. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Now let me read on. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up?" But let me stop right here and say this. If it was bread that Jesus was talking about, they didn't have to worry about that. He said, "Don't you remember the five loaves of the 5,000, 7 loaves of the 4,000, and I handled all that and took care of that?" Verse 11, "How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." So he's literally warning them about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But here he tells them this. He said, what? He said, "Oh ye," in verse 8, "Oh ye of little faith." When they lacked faith, there was two things there that I see in this. One, he could have supplied the bread that they forgot. We all know that. But here they could not understand what he was trying to get them to see. I think sometimes we doubt and we worry about things that God's just trying to get us to see. And whether we're too cold-hearted or too dull-hearted or whatever it is, we just can't see it. And he has to just smack us on the head to get us to see things. But to trust him means that we have a fixed heart. As I look at this scripture here, this whole book right here, that's why I have a fixed heart, is because I delight in this book right here. This is what he's gave us. We trust him and have a fixed heart because we find him to be faithful tonight. Has God not been faithful to you? I preached on that not too long ago, 2 or 3 months ago, on the faithfulness of the Lord. The Bible said, "Faithful, 1 Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you, and who also will do it." He's faithful. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Hebrews 10 said, "Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." If God has been faithful to us all these years, why would he quit being faithful now? in the midst of COVID, why would the Lord quit being faithful now? If we have shouted in the past 20, 30, 10, 40, 50 years, why would God quit being faithful now when COVID's here? Why do we worry now? Why is our heart not fixed now? Well, we've got all kinds of bad news. I understand that. I understand that there's situations that come in, and I understand that there's bad times that come in. But I'm talking about having a fixed heart on the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 8 put it this way. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He promised. There had not failed one word of His good promise which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. The Bible over and over again shows us that He's faithful. He was faithful to Joseph. Joseph, his brothers put him in a pit, and then not only was he sold into slavery, the Ishmaelites come and got him, sold him into slavery down there in Egypt, down there in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lied on him. He ended up in prison, and when the butler and the cook over there could have got him out, they left him down there and forgot to tell Pharaoh about him. But he finally does end up in the palace. Why? Because God's faithful. God's faithfulness does not mean everything's going to go the way that we want them to. Why? If you go back and you look at the text scripture, what did He say right here? He should not be afraid of evil tidings. It didn't say that evil tidings wouldn't come. It just said He wouldn't be afraid of them. It didn't say bad things wouldn't happen. It just said He wouldn't be afraid of them. I'll deal with that here in a minute. Matter of fact, I'll deal with it now. You know what He said right here? He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Go down in verse 8. He shall not be afraid. You reckon Joseph was afraid? You reckon Daniel was afraid when they come and, you know, they took him out of Israel and brought him all the way down to Babylon and put him with the rest of the eunuchs down there. And then they were going to feed him all the king's meat and the wine and all that. He didn't want to do that. Didn't want to displease God and defile his own body. And reckon when they come to get him when he was old. You know, Daniel was, what, probably 95 years old, somewhere around there? 85, and I believe he's 90 or 95 years old when they put him in the den of lions over there. Rainey was afraid. God had been faithful to him all them years. Why do me and you get afraid? I mean, if you're saved tonight, we really have no reason to be afraid. What do we got to fear tonight? It's easy for me to make that statement standing up here when everybody that I love is doing pretty good. It's easy to stand up here for me to make that statement when I'm healthy, as far as I know. I hope. I feel pretty good tonight. Let's hope I'm healthy. Amen. You know, it's easy for me to say, why are you afraid? You know, David even made a statement in Psalms 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Job 13, Job put it this way, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Job said, He's going to kill me, but I'm going to trust Him. I was reminded when Miss Jennifer was talking tonight about the teacher that had passed away. And what I'm going to say tonight, let me see how I can put this. I don't want to make light of that situation or belittle that situation by no means, because that family's got a need. If they've got a special need son, all those, I understand that. But I remember what Brother Larry Seals told me when he was diagnosed with cancer. And he said, I told the Lord, you know, his son was probably, you know, Rhett was probably 15, 16 years old, like that. He said, I got to tell him, the Lord, that, Lord, you know, my son needs a father and my wife needs a husband. And he said, I got to tell him, the Lord, all those things. He said, you know what the Lord told me? He said, there's been plenty of sons grow up without daddies and plenty of wives that didn't have a husband. Now, that's kind of hard to swallow. That's kind of hard to swallow when that's what you get back from the Lord. You know, that ain't what you want to hear back, you know. Now, the Lord did heal him of that cancer, by the way. And in fact, matter of fact, is when he was here with us last time, I talked to him about it while he was here, and he's been cancer free all this time. But we get afraid of the circumstances that are in front of us. His disciples, as I mentioned, on the boat, they were afraid. Peter, when he got in the water, he was afraid. On the Sermon on the Mount, when he was telling them about the fowls of the air and the lilies that are in the field, they were concerned about how they were going to be provided for. Our heart is not fixed when we're afraid. We lose sight of His faithfulness when we become afraid. When we become doubtful, we lose sight of God's Word and His faithfulness. Isaiah 41, he said this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I know that was written to Israel, but we are His people tonight. We are His people that He died for and loves and watches over every day and cares for and simply just wants us to trust Him. You know how to have an established heart, a fixed heart, a peaceful heart, a happy heart? Is to trust in Him tonight and not be afraid. Isaiah 43 said this, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee." Is that not what He done to us? "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Is that not what we are to Him? "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." It wasn't the fact that they did not go through the water, and they didn't have to go through the fire and do all these things. It was just the very fact that the Lord was with them when they had to do it. I have no doubt that just about everybody in here tonight has stood in a receiving line at a funeral home. Whether you were receiving people or going through it, you had to be there. And if you were receiving people, then you were the person on that side that was probably dealing with grief and dealing with sorrow. You know, God knows how to take care of that. You know, God knows how to comfort us in the midst of our sorrow and in the midst of our grief. He knows how to comfort us and give us grace. As we stood in the... Now, you have to understand the love that I had for my grandmother. And the more that it grew... Probably after she passed away. So don't cheat yourself on that deal. Okay? You love on them while you got them especially. That way they'll know. But I remember the night that she passed away as we all stood in the hospital room. And it was a good sized hospital room. And all the family was in there. And I've told you this story many times. But I just remember standing in there. And I'd come by that day. And I was watching her cross. When I was watching her go into glory, I guess one of the first times that I'd really ever seen anybody pass from this life unto another. As her hands were in the air, and I mean she's laying in the bed, her hands were in the air like this. She didn't know she was in this world, but she knew she was crossing into another. And her hands were literally like this. They didn't put them up there. She put them up there, laying in that bed, frail as she was. She was a short little woman. And frail, and them little old pony hands was up in the air. And I remember my mother and some of her sisters would rub her hands and lay them back down and pat them and love on her and tell her to Mama, it's okay. It's okay. Takes a lot of grace to make that statement. It's okay. And then right back up in the air it went. And I remember standing around that night and just the whole family was in there. And he got real quiet and the doctor had come in and declared that she had passed. And you know, all I wanted to do, I didn't feel sad. I really didn't. All I wanted to do was roll back and sing how beautiful heaven must be. That's all I wanted to do. Tonight, that's just grace. I don't know any other way to explain that tonight. It's just grace that God can comfort your heart in the midst of losing somebody that you love. Oh, in the midst of circumstances that is beyond your control, that looks like the world is crashing in. And if you've never been there and you don't think your world's coming to an end, two things. One, you'll probably get there one day. And if you never do, bless your heart, good for you. It's easy for me to stand up here and tell you not to be afraid. But when we have a fixed heart on Him, knowing that He will see us through, it's easier to say, don't be afraid. We'll trust Him. You know what the Bible said right here at the end? His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So you know what he said right here? He said, he'll not be afraid, and God is going to move for him. He'll see his desire upon his enemies. In other words, he'll see him defeated. God will defeat his enemies. So we see right here that until his desire, until God does something for him and moves for him, he's just going to trust God, look to God, not be afraid, and have a fixed heart on the Lord. Take your Bible, go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18. I'm going to close. We're going to go home. As I hadn't thought much about this till I got to reading it up here tonight and preaching on it, I hope none of us face anything bad in the next while. I always get nervous about this. One thing I've learned over the years, Brother Marvin, is the Lord will let us preachers live what we preach sometimes. He'll let us live it. 2 Kings chapter 18, looking at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. Let me stop right here. Hunter, how old are you? 23. How would you like to be king 2 more years? I'm just saying. I got to think about that while I was sitting there reading this scripture. I thought about Hunter. Thought about Zach, all these young men around here, you know. 25 years old and these men are taking over a kingdom. That's pretty big. I wouldn't even want to take over a kingdom, man. I'm 46. 25 years old and he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did, now this is important. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nushatan. Verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. You know, that's a big testimony. That he trusted God so much and leaned on God so much and looked to God so much, there wasn't a king like before him or after him. That was after the days of David and the days of King Solomon that this statement is made, there's none like King Hezekiah. It's a pretty big statement. Verse 6, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded him, or commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not, and he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and borders thereof from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. What did it say? He clave. He got a hold of the Lord, and he held on to him as hard as he could. He just trusted God's word, believed God's word, and done God's word. Because that's what God... You want to know how to have a fixed heart tonight, and you want to see God move in your life and do something for you, even in the midst of battle. Notice right here that it said he still had to go battle. He still had to go fight. He still had to go whip all these enemies over here. He still had to go out and do all these things. But he was doing it while he was Clave to the Lord while he was holding on to the Lord and looking to God. And I tell you tonight, if we're going to make it through the hard times, the battles, the fights, the sorrowful times, the irritating times. I was riding a lawnmower yesterday, mowing my grandmother's yard, and I thought, man, this is an irritating time. Not mowing the yard, but just that we're living in. This whole time irritates me. Irritates me. It just rubs me the wrong way. It irritates me. But only God can help our heart tonight and give us a fixed heart. Let's bow our heads tonight.